Pan's Patisserie. Read. Lou held her mother for a long time. I waited at the chasm's edge, even after Coco and a handful of blood witches built a bridge of vines, even after Celie and her newfound friends, two witches named Corinne and Barnabé, crossed on shaky legs. Jean-Luc had enveloped Celie in a desperate hug, while Coco had tentatively greeted the witches. She'd remembered them from childhood. They'd remembered her. They'd even bared their throats before leaving to find their kin, a sign of submission. Coco had watched them go, visibly shaken. Not all had been so courteous. One witch, a sobbing Dame Blanche, had attacked my back as I'd waited. Jean-Luc had been forced to inject her, to bind her wrists. He hadn't killed her, however, not even when Celie had stepped aside to speak with Elvire. Aurelien had fallen, others too. As the oracle's hand, Elvire had begun to collect their dead, preparing to depart for Le Presage once more.
"We cannot leave Our Lady waiting," she'd murmured, bowing low. "Please say you will visit us sometime."
Beau and Coco hurried to find Xena and Seraphine. Though I started to follow, Coco shook her head. Her gaze drifted to Lou, who hadn't moved from beneath her mother.
"She needs you more,"
Coco murmured. Nodding, I swallowed hard, and after another moment, I took a hesitant step on the bridge. Someone shouted behind me. Unsheathing my stolen balasarda, I whirled, prepared for another witch. Instead, I met two, Babette supporting Madame Labelle, as they hobbled into the street. An enormous smile stretched across my mother's face. "Read!" she waved with her entire body, presumably healed by Babette's blood. The lesions and bruises from the trial had vanished, replaced by vibrant skin, if a touch pale. I exhaled a sharp breath. My knees weakened in a dizzying wave of relief.
She was here.
She was alive. Crossing the street in three great strides, I met her halfway, crushing her in my arms. She choked on a laugh, patted my arm.
"Easy, son. It takes a bit more time for the insides to heal, you know."
Though she still beamed, clapping my cheeks, her eyes tightened at the corners. Babette looked unusually grave behind. I met her gaze over my mother's head.
"Thank you." "Do not thank me," she waved an errant hand. "Your mother supplied my first job in this city. I owed her one."
"And still owe me many more," Madame Labelle added, turning to eye the courtesan waspishly. "Do not think I've forgotten, Babette, the time you dyed my hair blue." Only then did Babette crack a sheepish grin. After another moment, she glanced around us covertly.
"Pray tell, huntsman, have you seen our lovely Cosette?"
"She's with Beau. They headed north."
Her smile fell slightly. "Of course. If you'll excuse me."
She left without delay, and I wrapped a steadying arm around Madame Labelle's waist. "Where have you been? Are you well?"
"I am as well as possible, given the circumstances," she shrugged delicately. "We took a leaf out of your wife's book and hid in Soleil et Lune's attic. No one bothered us there. Perhaps none knew of its importance to Lou."
"If they had, I suspect Morgane would have raised it out of spite." When I nodded to them across the chasm, her expression crumpled. She shook her head.
"Oh, dear. Oh, dear. How sickening."
Those piercing blue eyes flitted up to mine, filled with regret.
"Babette told me that Auguste perished by his own fire. Stupid, arrogant man."
As if realizing the tactlessness of her words, she patted my arm again.
"But he was very—"
"He tortured you," I said darkly. She sighed, crestfallen.
"Yes, he did."
"He deserved worse than death."
"Perhaps. We must content ourselves that wherever he is. He's in great pain. Perhaps with rats.
Still, she wobbled slightly, unsteady on her feet, my arm tightened around her. He was your father. I am sorry for it, but I am never sorry for you.
She touched my cheek once more before glancing at Lou. You must go. If you could walk me to the nearest bench, however, I'd be most grateful. I should like to watch the sunrise.
I stared at her incredulously. I can't leave you on a bench.
Nonsense, of course you can. No witch with any sense would attack us now. And those that do, well, I believe more than one chasseur survived. And that Father Achille has quite a nice...
I'll stop you there. Though I shook my head, one corner of my mouth curled upward, unbidden. Father Achille is off limits.
It wasn't true. She could have whoever she wanted. I would personally introduce them.
After situating her on a bench, beds of winter jasmine blooming on either side, I kissed her forehead. Though night still claimed the sky, dawn would come soon. With it, a new day. I knelt to catch my mother's eyes.
I love you. I don't think I've ever told you.
Scoffing, she busied herself with her skirt. Still, I saw her eyes. They sparkled with sudden tears.
I only expect to hear it every day from this moment onward. You shall visit at least thrice a week, and you and Louise shall name your firstborn child after me. Perhaps your second, too. That sounds reasonable, does it not?
I chuckled and tugged on her hair.
I'll see what I can do.
Go on, then.
As I walked back to Lou, however, I heard low voices down a side street. Familiar ones. A keening wail. Frowning, I followed the sound to Gabrielle and Violette. They stood huddled on a stoop between Beau, who'd wrapped one arm around each of them. Coco hovered behind, one hand clapped to her mouth.
At their feet, Ismay and Victoire lay sprawled unnaturally, face down, surrounded by a half dozen witches.
None stirred. Stricken, unable to move, I watched as Beau's face broke on a sob and he pulled the two girls into his chest. Their shoulders shuddered as they clutched him, their tears raw, anguished, intimate. The sight of them punched me in the gut. My siblings. Though I hadn't known Victoire as well as Beau, I could have. I would have. The pain cut unexpectedly sharp. It should have been me on those cobblestones. Morgane had wanted me, not her. She'd wanted Beau, not Victoire. A 13-year-old child. Guilt reared its ugly head, and I finally turned. I walked back to Lou. I waited. This time she lifted her head to greet me. I held her gaze. Nodding, she smoothed Morgane's hair. Her touch tender, full of longing. She closed her mother's eyes. Then she rose heavily to her feet, bent as if bearing the weight of the very sky, and she left her there. When she crossed the bridge, I extended my arms to her at last, and she fell into them without a sound. Her face pale and drawn, broken-hearted. I leaned to rest my forehead against hers.
I'm so sorry, Lou.
She held my face between both hands, closed her eyes.
Me too.
We'll get through this together.
I know.
Where you go,
I will go.
She finished, softly. Her eyes opened, and she brushed a kiss against my lips.
Who survived?
Let's find out.
As I'd suspected, the chasm split the entire city in two. Lou and I walked it, hand in hand. Near the cathedral, we found Toulouse and Thierry. They stared into the chasm's depths with Zena and Seraphine. No one spoke a word.
What do you think happened to him?
Lou whispered, slowing to a stop.
This wake wasn't meant for us. It was meant for them.
Club de Fortune.
Claude's family.
Do you think he died?
I frowned at the prospect, pressure built in my chest, behind my eyes. I don't think gods can die. When we turned to go, Terence stepped forward from the shadows. Like us, he, Blaze, and Liana hovered a respectable distance away. Ignoring Lou and me, he caught Toulouse's and Terry's eyes.
You could come with us.
His voice resonated deeper than I'd remembered. Blood dripped down his bare chest. The side of his face, his ear had been torn off completely. Whether in battle or before, I couldn't tell. With a start, I realized he must have met Toulouse and Terry at Chateau Leblanc, when they'd all been tortured together. Liana, too. The thought turned my stomach. Blaze stepped to his son's side, clasping a hand on his shoulder.
We would be honored.
He cleared the emotion from his throat.
My children, they have spoken of how you comforted them, how you gave them hope. I can never repay either of you for this kindness.
The twins cast subtle glances at Xena and Seraphine. The former shrugged. Though link-shaped burns marred her visible skin, she'd somehow donned a sparkling fuchsia gown, the rest of her appeared relatively unscathed. Seraphine, too, blood coated her armor, but it didn't seem to belong to her. I stared at them both incredulously.
How did they escape?
Who? Lou asked. What happened?
The witches. They felled Xena with a magic chain.
Ah.
A hint of a smile touched her lips.
Tarrasque's chain.
Like in Xena's story.
She did say that wasn't her real name.
I frowned as she pulled me away in search of the others. We ended up in Pan's Patisserie. Outside the boarded windows, Father Achille and a score of huntsmen attempted to free their brethren. Philippe still bellowed orders within his cage of roots. None listened. When at last they freed him, he swiped wildly at Achille, who dodged with the speed of a much younger man before knocking Philippe to the ground. It took 5 huntsmen to subdue him, another to clap irons around his wrists.
You can't do this!
Veins throbbed in his forehead as he thrashed.
I am a captain of the Chasseur, Father Gaspard!
He'd nearly burst blood vessels.
Someone summon him, Father Gaspard!
Father Gaspard hadn't heeded his summons, instead remaining crouched behind a tree in the sanctuary. The chasseurs had flushed him out while searching for Queen Oleana, who they'd found trapped beneath the pulpit. Though her leg had been fractured, she would face greater pain soon. I didn't envy the chasseur who would tell her about her child. For the first time in a long time, I didn't envy any chasseur at all. Unsure what to do with Philippe, Jean-Luc and Celie settled on chaining him to a horse post down the street, out of hearing distance, thankfully. They joined us in the patisserie moments later. Collapsing in a vacant chair, Jean-Luc scrubbed a hand down his face.
We'll need to coordinate shelter as soon as possible. Petition citizens to open their homes to those without.
Celie sat beside him with quiet calm. Soot smeared her white cheeks, and her hair hung lank from Coco's rain, from sweat. A gash still bled from her temple. She gestured next door to the boucherie.
The injured will need treatment. We must summon healers from the nearest metropolises.
Oh, God.
Jean-Luc groaned and shot to his feet.
Were there priests in the infirmary? Has anyone checked for survivors?
At our blank looks, he shook his head and stalked outside to find Father Achille. Instead of joining him, Celie looked between us anxiously. She knitted her hands in her lap.
Lou? Do you think... I'm terribly sorry, but... might you be able to return my gown now?
Lou blinked in confusion. With a breathy laugh, Celie gestured to her armor.
Oh!
Lou chuckled too and waved her hand. The sharp scent of incense erupted.
Yes, of course.
From her feet, Celie's armor unraveled into a black morning gown, and she patted her waist anxiously. At whatever she found, tension left her shoulders, and she relaxed just a little.
Right. Thank you so much.
A bright smile at Lou, a quick glance at me. It seemed inexplicably significant. When Jean-Luc shouted for her a moment later, however, she grimaced and strode toward the door.
I shall return in just a moment.
Lou watched her go with a bemused grin, stretching to watch her through the window.
What was that about? She must really like dresses.
Lou rolled her eyes. Coco and Beau found us next. Though tears still stained my brother's face, he rubbed them away with a weak smile, pulling a chair around to sit beside Lou. Then he wrapped her in a headlock and ruffled her hair.
Did Reed tell you I saved his life?
She didn't push him away. He didn't.
Then he is a spectacular ass. I threw a knife with such precision that it would have put Montrouge to shame.
You also caught me on fire, I said scathingly. Her, too.
Nonsense. Also, nuance.
Sighing dramatically, he held Lou there for another moment. They locked eyes, and both of their grins gradually faded.
How are you, sister mine?
He asked seriously. Her hands came up to grip his forearm.
I'm better now, I think. The shock is starting to wear off. It's like I can finally take a breath.
Her fingers squeezed, and she blinked rapidly.
I'm so sorry, Beau.
When she looked at Coco, he released her from his grip.
To all of you.
Coco traced a pattern in the tabletop's grain.
I lost my mother a long time ago. My father, too,
Beau added, his voice quiet. But not Victoire. The guilt resurfaced with a vengeance. I'd survived enough to know it always would. There'd been no sense in that little girl's death. No explanation to make it right. There'd been none when we'd burned the witch's children, either. Victoire had deserved better. They all had. We did, too. Pushing to my feet, I craned my neck in search of Pan. He disappeared into a back room at my arrival, but he couldn't hide from me forever. I strode to the counter and rang the bell. I rang it again. If a small voice in my head chastised me, if it called me rude for harassing a baker after he'd risked life and limb for mine, I ignored it. The witches hadn't doused his hearth. I would bake the pastries myself if he couldn't. Surely I could figure it out.
What are you doing?
Lou eyed me suspiciously from the table. You need to be nice to Pan.
I'm always nice to...
You're ringing his bell.
Isn't that why it's here? He isn't a cat, Reed,
Beau said with a smirk.
It's rude to ring the bell,
Coco agreed. Lou nodded. Also annoying.
Very,
Beau said.
I grimaced at them all. I am trying to purchase us sticky buns.
To Lou, I grumbled.
I think I owe you one in particular.
Her face cleared instantly, and she leaned forward with bright eyes, knitting her fingers together atop the table.
Have I told you today how absolutely and completely attractive I find your ass?
I snorted just as Pan strode into view. Scowling, he snatched the bell from his counter.
What is it? What do you want? Can you not see I am closed for business?
He gestured a wild hand at the window.
There was a war, young man. Wake up!
When he snapped his fingers beneath my nose, I fought the urge to roll my eyes.
We cannot all cower and tremble, forsaking our loved ones. Oh, no, some of us must protect this great kingdom of ours. You treat our fair Lucida like a princess now, yes?
I cast a scathing look over my shoulder. Both Beau's and Coco's shoulders shook with laughter. Lou gazed back at me with a perfectly placid expression.
She batted her lashes. Like a queen,
I said wryly. Pan frowned at me as if considering. Very well. I shall make you the sticky buns, he snapped his fingers again, but you shall pay full price. I flashed a hard smile.
Thanks.
Back at the table, Lou pressed her foot over mine. A truly spectacular ass. A moment of silence stretched between us. Then another. Outside, Father Achille still coordinated with Jean-Luc, with Celie. They'd sent word to neighboring villages for supplies, for healers. Two had survived Morgan's attack on the tower, but they needed medical treatment themselves. At least, I thought they'd said two. Behind the counter, Pan bustled ostentatiously, banging every pot and slamming every utensil.
Double price,
he'd muttered at one point. At last, Beau heaved a shattered sigh. His smirk had faded. His eyes gleamed anew.
What are we supposed to do now?
The cathedral is destroyed. The castle, too, by the looks of it. The archbishop is dead. The king is dead. La dame de Sorcière is dead. The old one, anyway.
He shot Lou an apologetic glance. She shrugged stiffly, tracing the lines on my palm. The chateau remains standing. I suppose it's mine now. We can live there. Her eyes flashed to Coco. All of us?
A wide smile spread across Coco's face. I don't think Father Achille will give us any trouble.
If he's elected.
He will be,
Beau said.
Father Gaspard nearly pissed down his leg when Morgan showed up. He's a politician.
He jerked his head to the window to Father Achille.
Not a leader.
Are you a leader, Beau?
Coco asked quietly. He studied her for a moment. His lips pursed, undecided.
I don't know yet.
She smirked at him.
We have that in common.
You can say that again, Lou muttered. I couldn't manage an attic, let alone a fucking castle. We lapsed into silence until Celie poked her head into the patisserie once more. With a quick wave, she motioned me forward. I kissed Lou's hand before rising to meet her. Jean-Luc stood on the other side of the door. Leaning past me, he pushed it closed behind us, and Celie, she actually bounced on the balls of her feet.
I have something for you,
she spoke over me before I could answer.
When Jean-Luc stole your items from the tower, I chose not to keep it with the rest, your bandolier and knives and such, because it looked too important. I didn't want you to lose it in the heat of the battle.
Jean-Luc nodded.
I told her it belonged to your mother.
Realization sparked. Anticipation.
Of course, when Lou enchanted our clothing, I thought I'd lost it.
She shook her head, grinning but frazzled. Reaching into the band at her waist, she extracted a familiar ring with a thin golden band and mother-of-pearl stone. It gleamed even in the grayish light. Her smile widened as she placed it in my hand.
Here, do as you wish with it. It's yours.
I stared down at it in wonder. Warmth radiated through me at the point of contact. My heart pounded.
Thank you, Celie.
That isn't all.
Jean-Luc touched the hilt of the balisarda in my bandolier. Its sapphire winked through the leather.
I spoke with Father Achille. We agreed, both of us. You have a place within our ranks if you want it. That balisarda is yours.
The happiness in my chest punctured slightly, but
no,
I wouldn't let it. Not this time. Unsheathing the balisarda with one hand, I extended it to Celie.
I think there are others better suited.
When her fingers curled around it, her eyes widening in shock, I said,
two clever little girls once told me they wished to be huntsmen. Not as they are now, but as they should be. Proper knights riding forth to vanquish evil. Defending the land and protecting the innocent. One of them even swore she'd wear a dress.
Oh, I can't.
She shook her head swiftly, attempting to return the balisarda.
I don't know how to wield a sword. I couldn't possibly use this.
You don't need to wield a sword to protect the innocent, Silly, Jean-Luc said, nodding to me in appreciation, in respect. He glowed with pride as he looked at her.
You've proven that more than anyone.
I nodded too, stepping away from the door, opening it wide.
The tower is broken. It's time to rebuild.
She flashed a tentative smile before Jean-Luc swept her through it. I didn't follow. Not right away. Instead, I stared at the ring in my hand.
What are you doing out here?
Lou touched my shoulder, and I turned, tucking the ring into my pocket. She looked left and right with a pointed smirk.
Having fun with all your friends?
At her inquisitive gaze, I couldn't help it. A broad smile split my own face, and I kissed her full on the mouth. When I pulled back, she flicked my nose before soothing the spot with her thumb, her hand lingering on my cheek.
Come back inside. Pan says the sticky buns are done.
I brushed my lips across her palm. That sounds like paradise to me.